This is the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Now, with Isaiah, here's Brady Hall.
5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the Isaiah Stevens Show. Shout out to Crazy Carl's Pizza, as always, for making these programs rock and roll. Isaiah is back in studio, and he's back on the court, too, man. And with a bang. That came out of nowhere, man. So in my brain, I was thinking January with that foot injury, but you weren't thinking that. You were busting hump to get back.
Yeah, man. I was trying to do all I could to work my way back into the rotation and the lineup, but still took my time with it. I didn't rush it or anything like that, and just day by day started being able to do a little bit more and more, and then had a couple conversations and had to get a couple more examinations, and then they cleared me to play.
I mean, so when did you get the green light, so to speak? When did that happen?
Maybe Monday evening, okay. Tuesday morning.
Wow.
So, like, right before the game, essentially.
How pumped were you?
So excited.
Oh, my gosh.
So excited, man. I just wanted to play.
Well, so we get into the game. What was the play call? What was the design to start the game? I mean, or did it matter? You were like, dude, I'm going to go score here.
Me, personally, it didn't matter. But coach ended up drawing up a play for me to come out here and come off a ball screen and hopefully get a shot. But I ended up telling Coach Jones, one of our assistants, that regardless of what the play was, if I got it, I was just going to shoot it, just to get it out of my system, right?
Yeah.
I've been so antsy to play for so long now that regardless of what the play call was, it was going to go up.
What was that like when you take that shot, you get back out on the floor, in front of Moby Madness, too? So you and, of course, David, you guys made Moby Madness, man. I mean, you have created that. What was that like to see that basket or that ball go into the basket?
Man, everything, right? It's been sitting down for so long. You take that first shot, you don't really know how it's going to feel within the flow of a game. But I had so much energy. I was so pent up. It was great to see it fall and then run back, hear the cheers, and then get locked back in on the next possession.
Well, you were shouting, "I'm back, man." I mean, yeah. You were pumped. You were so into this, and I think you could just feel that watching this game.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted it to be. Like, I was so ready and eager to get out there, and I just wanted to feed off of Moby, and they gave me all the energy I needed that day.
Oh, so we got you back for that LMU game. You were on a minute restriction. You didn't need to play that many minutes, though, because you guys had taken care of business so much so to start that second half, essentially, to put LMU behind the eight ball, so to speak. But I know you wanted to play a few more minutes in that game.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm used to playing a lot of minutes. Obviously, just as a competitor, you want to play as much as you possibly can, but I have no problem with easing my way back in. I'm just trying to help CSU in any way that I can out there on the floor, and I felt like I did that on Wednesday.
Man, it was like bonus time watching you play, because again, I was in my brain, I'm thinking, CSU's going to have to survive without their stud, without Isaiah Stevens for, you know, maybe another month or whatever. And then it was just surreal watching you on Wednesday. I'm going, this is amazing, man. I mean, CSU's been playing pretty well, and then you get into the mix, look out, and I think sitting at 6-2, a lot of people are pretty pumped about what this team's doing, man.
Yeah, man, they handle business. And like I said, it's not just the Isaiah Stevens team or whatever.
It's not the Isaiah Stevens show?
this is the show, but it's not just the Isaiah Stevens team. We got so many other
you
guys
do.
That can help and provide for the team in multiple ways, regardless of what we need. But I just wanted to come back and help. Like, these guys have won games with and without me, so I don't feel like it's just live and die by Isaiah Stevens out there. Like, I'm just trying to come in and make their lives easier.
Man, John Tonje was so pumped that you were back in the mix. I mean, you could just see it. Like, he's smiling ear to ear. Everybody, it was just, you know, again, on the floor, obviously, we know what you're capable of. You know, one of the best players around, certainly one of the best players in the Mountain West Conference. But mentally, too, I think, you know, you're such a great team leader. You're such a great teammate. That really injects some extra life into this team. And you could see that on Wednesday night.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I just take that very seriously, trying to lead this team in any way possible, be there for them, encourage, and also help critique in any way I see fit. But then they also have the free rein to do that to me too, right? So it's not just a one-way street on that. So if I'm messing up or if I'm doing great, they also relay that message back to me. And that's why our culture is the way that it is from the top down. Like, that's just how we operate. So being able to bring that energy onto the court, continuing to be positive off the court, has been just a blessing.
And I know we had talked about it a couple of weeks ago, you know, what your role might be And as you know, Coach Medved talked about you potentially wanting to be a coach someday, and maybe that would be part of a role that you would have. But then, boom, you're playing. But now you can kind of take, you know, from what you've seen on the sidelines, watching this team, kind of taking, you know, the bird's eye view of this team, so to speak, and you can use that inside the games.
Absolutely, and I feel like that's one of the best things that a point guard can do, even more so, is taking the coach's perspective and bringing it onto the court and then just being an extension of him and what they want and what we're trying to execute on a possession-by-possession basis. So I feel like I've definitely been able to take a step back, see what this team needs from me, see what I can help bring back to them that maybe we are lacking a little bit, and then just merge it all together and try to get this thing rolling even more.
So how does the foot feel? Like, how much pain? Are you in pain? Like, currently sitting right here, is there any pain in the foot right now?
Nothing. Pain in the foot. Can tend to get a little sore, but that's with any player at any point during their career. So just got to keep doing rehab, keep taking care of it, keep progressing, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, so you said it. I mean, most of the time, once you guys get into season, nobody's really 100% right anymore. So those are things. Foot injuries are always interesting, though. I mean, a lot of times you hear about foot injuries. You know, guys are supposed to come back on this date, but it's a nagging injury, and it just sticks with you for so long. Yours was the complete opposite of that.
Right, and I'm truly blessed for that. I tried to do all that I can, whether it was with rehab, whether it was with nutrition, whether it was just taking actual time to rest and stay off my feet. I tried to do all that I could to make this process as smooth as possible, and it ultimately benefited me by making some of those sacrifices, and I'm just glad that I was able to come back when I could.
I mean, I'm seeing it. We're talking about it on the show, and again, it feels like bonus time. All right, I'll drop a Russell Wilson line. You know, he said he has Wolverine blood when he was talking about the injury. Man. Is there some Wolverine blood going on here, man, or what's going on?
Man, I don't know about all that, but I feel like for the most part, man, I'm just a resilient person, tough-minded, but at the same time, I had a lot of people in my ear making sure that I wasn't rushing the process. I wasn't skipping any steps. I wasn't trying to rush any of this stuff. So it's been a great, great opportunity that I was able to go through that looking back. But obviously going through it, I wish I didn't have to, but I'm blessed for that.
Well, and like we talked about, this team has you know, held everything above water. Are you, and you know, just be honest, are you kind of shocked at, right? I mean, 6-2, this Rams, 6-2, 5-2 without you. Are you shocked at that at all? Or
No,
not at all.
Not at all. Like, we play every game to try to win, regardless of who's on the floor. That's just the culture that we have. We can roll out anybody, and we're going to compete. Now, does it always go your way? No, that's the sport, though. And so we just try to go out there, compete, put our best foot forward, execute at a high level, and win as a team and play with each other. And so that was really fun to see them have success early, because that builds confidence within the team. And I just knew that when it was my time to come back, I just want to just help in any way I can.
It's interesting, because obviously you want, you know, when you go into the season, you want your best players out there on the floor. But without you, do you feel like, I mean, this team almost grew up a little bit? Because I'm watching guys like Isaiah Rivera. They just, there's a different look about him, you know, almost like, okay, he's out. We have to do our best here to hold down the fort and try to win some games and put ourselves in a good spot when Isaiah returns. Do you feel like some of the guys grew up a little bit over
Absolutely.
The last few weeks?
We have quite a few guys on our team that are taking on major roles this year, and they're going to have to take those roles for us to be successful down the line, right? And so for them to have to come out to start the year without me out there and figure it out was, I think, one of the better things for this program. And you talk about guys like Isaiah Rivera, throw Jalen Lake in the mix, guys that have had to really step up, James Moores, and play at a really high level. They've been able to do that night in, night out for the most part. And I just am super happy to see them have success, because now when their confidence is high, I know my confidence is going to be high, and just go out there and compete and try to win as many games as possible.
I was just so shocked. There didn't seem like there was any rust with you. I mean, you just picked up. It was like we were rewinding, going back to last year. You just looked exactly the same out there.
Yeah. Nah, that's a great compliment, man. I appreciate that. but, yeah, man, spent a lot of time just working on my shot, from close ranges, ball handling, stationary, passing. Still a lot of skill work involved, even when I wasn't mobile necessarily. Watched a ton of film, even with other guys. Like, I'm watching their film with the coaches just to see what I could pick up on. And then I was just asking a bunch of questions. I'm sure they got sick and tired of me there for a while.
I think you're a coach's dream, actually, man. I mean, just, again, talking to Coach Medved, and when we've sat down with Coach Jones, Coach Ali Farouk Manesh, those guys, what you provide on the floor is amazing. It's second to none. But having that want to, I just picture you buzzing around the facility like, hey, I'm going to go over here and watch film over here. I'm going to go watch film over here. I'm going to talk to these guys. And again, that's not everybody's like that. Not everybody's wired like that.
You're right. And I think it's a very unique quality that I have. But, man, I just love the sport. I love the game. Get it from my parents. They both played. My older brother played high-level D1 basketball. He was a professional. So just from the day I entered this world, man, basketball has been one of the forefronts in my life. So just over time, you just develop that hunger and that desire to be around it all the time. So that was a fun little time, especially going out in South Carolina. And seeing how they operate in a tournament setting, watching, scouting, preparing. Like, man, it was a whole whirlwind for me seeing that.
Well, now you go forward here. We have some very interesting matchups for you guys down the road. We know UNC's tomorrow afternoon. You got the Buffs in the mix, too. Did you watch the Buffs game last night by chance?
I did watch the second half. Wow. Wasn't really scouting or anything like that. I just like watching good college basketball, and that was a heck of a game.
It was a heck of a game, but you had the Buffs. The Buffs were up by 15 at one point.
Yeah.
And I heard Coach Boyle's comments on it. He's like, that was one of the most disappointing losses he said that he's ever had. And so that's a tough one for them. The Buffs are an interesting team, of course. You can see them beat guys like Tennessee and then struggle the way they did at the end of that game last night. So that'll be an interesting matchup. St. Mary's is down the road. You're looking at USC down the road, too. So the rest of your non-conference schedule is going to be really interesting, a great test to see where you guys are at this point.
Absolutely. And that's what we all came to CSU to do, is playing those highly talented games, playing those high-end matchups, and just go out there and compete. And that's what makes it so fun. They're a great team. We're a great team. And we're just going to try to put our best foot forward and win as many games as we can.
Got a local matchup tomorrow afternoon. This UNC basketball team, you guys faced them last year. That was the Bodie Hume day for the Bears. I mean, he just went. Oh, he had 30 points in the game.
Easy, too, didn't he?
It was nuts.
Easy, too. Man, I wish we could have made it a little bit tougher on him. But, nah, UNC, one of those teams that you really, really have to be dialed in with, have to prepare for. They can beat anybody on any given day. So this is going to be a great test for us.
Yeah, when you look at a team like UNC, obviously, I love their coaching staff, too. They kind of remind me of your coaching staff, just the way they are about their players and what they do, the dedication, the time they put in, and some very good players, guys that you know pretty well on a personal, some of them you know on a personal level. But you know for them, they look at you guys, and they, you know, last year, they knew you were a March Madness team, that you could feel it. Everybody could feel it. I think you were undefeated before that game started. They look at this game in a lot of ways kind of like, this is our Super Bowl. This is an opportunity for us to show what we can really do. Now, that's obviously something that you look at. So you know that they're going to bring their absolute best. They want to see if they can pull off the upset and shock the world.
Absolutely. And it's a Super Bowl for us, too. That's the same mindset that we're approaching it with. Like I said, they can beat anybody on any given day. So we're going to have to be dialed in our scout, our preparation, and our approach to the game, because like, you want to win those in-house matchups, right? Yeah. Like, especially against a team from right up the road. So it'll be fun, man. We've had some great battles in the past with Daylen and Matt and a couple of those other guys, Dalton. Those guys have been playing really, really well lately. And so it'll be a fun game on Saturday, and I just can't wait to compete with those guys.
Do you think that this should be something that's just done every single year? CSU, UNC should be playing every single year?
Absolutely.
It'd grow the fandom in the state, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd grow the basketball community. Like you said, the fandom with Northern Colorado, Colorado Air Force, all those like in-state rivalries. I feel like we got to just continue to build those up, and they're fun. Last year was obviously we came out on the positive end of it, but they played a really great game, and then we found a way to figure it out, and it was just a really high level basketball game that you look back at the end of the year and you think, man, like, I want to see more of that. So I think year in, year out, we got to try to get as many of those matchups as we can.
Oh, my producer back there, did you get the trophy done yet? We're working on an idea, you know, that we actually pitched it to Tad Boyle on the show, of just some kind of tournament that should happen between, heck, even throw Wyoming in the mix, too. Right. I know with the Mountain West, it's different because you got to play those guys anyway. But I think some kind of round robin tournament would be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe have it down in like the Nuggets arena.
Let's do it, man.
Get a trophy.
Okay, so you're in on that? Okay, we can sign him up. We got three so far. Me and Angel back there. So we'll get to working on this idea. Okay, we'll take a quick break. You're going to get out of here a little bit early because you got practice. Practice is getting in the way of stuff, apparently, right?
Yeah,
I'm going to text Nico and say, hey, push practice back. But we're going to finish up on the other side. We'll talk a little bit about this matchup, too. It got a little chippy at the end.
Yep.
The CSU. But that's competitors, right?
We're competitors. They're competitors, man. I don't think anyone took it personal at the time. But, yeah, it'll definitely be some edge out there on both ends of the table. So,
Well, let's talk about that last, kind of what happened at the end of that game last year. Look at the UNC Bears and then the schedule ahead for Colorado State. We'll take a quick break. It's the Isaiah Stevens Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk-Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. I mean, it was just like a sigh of relief. You could hear it all over the state because it's not just Fort Collins. You guys obviously have been growing your brand the last few years, and you and David just stormed onto the scene, and you've just built up this fan base. So whenever the news hit that Isaiah was cleared and ready to go against LMU, you could just hear, Rams fans all over the state were like, okay, all right, it's go time. Let's go.
Let's go. Man, and that's just a dope feeling to see across all the social media and just even people walking up to you saying we're happy to have you back, glad to see you're healthy, stuff like that, man. Like, you can't take that for granted. And it just shows the community that we're in and that we've helped even build up even more.
Oh, no question,
like,
man.
I'm just blessed to be around.
What was it like after the game? I mean, you typically, you do this anyway, but go around, you talk to the fans, and I love that. You guys all do that. What was that like? I mean, you were hearing it probably from the fans that were like, dude, give me a hug, man.
Definitely had quite a few hugs after the game. Saw a bunch of familiar faces. Man, that was just special. And just to know that we're able to bring smiles to so many kids, elderly people, students, regardless of who they are, like, we're able to have an impact based on the sport that we play is just awesome to see.
You've really built, I mean, Moby Arena has become a very difficult place to play for visiting teams. And that, I mean, that really started with you guys. Yeah. I mean, you and obviously this coaching staff, you really built this up. I thought Nico was a genius because last year when you guys were going into the Mountain West tournament, the dudes, the Outlaws of Moby, the Cowboys guys, right? They put out on Twitter that they were looking to get out there and they wanted to go. And coach, hooked him up.
Yeah.
He did a donation. I think that's a genius thing. Build onto that fan base and show them a little bit of love because now those guys, they're not going to miss a game.
They're not going to miss a game, and they're going to be able to convince even more people to come to games.
You're going to have like 30 dudes with cowboy hats in the front.
I think it was brilliant, man. And that's what we want is we want Moby to be a tough place to play. We want people to not look forward to coming in there and having a great night, right?
Yeah.
And so the students are the biggest part of that, and then we need our old faithfuls in there each and every night to make it one of the toughest places to play in America.
Last time when you played UNC, I think it was over the Thanksgiving break, wasn't it? Like Thanksgiving hit and then you guys played that weekend. So, but you still had a really good crowd considering that. This week, I think it should be really interesting to see what that turnout's like. Last year, you guys beat the Bears 88-79. We talked about Bodie. He went off. At the end of this game, you and Matt Johnson kind of went at it a little bit. I mean, again, for me as a fan just watching that game, it's entertaining. And it's back when you got Bodie up there throwing the threes up. Fans are booing him a little bit. And then you guys end up running away with that thing at the end. What was that like at the end for you? Because I know you and Matt have a relationship.
Yeah, we play against each other quite a bit in the summertime. I've had a few conversations. Great dude, man. And I have nothing but respect for him as a player. It was just one bang, bang play. My teammates on the floor trying to help him up, do whatever I need to do to just diffuse the situation. Probably could have handled it a little bit better, but it's a part of it. He's going to stand up for him and his teammates, and I'm going to stand up for me and mine. But it was all in good competitiveness, and it'll be a good matchup there on Saturday.
It's interesting, too, because when you're in that mode, I mean, you guys can shake hands and you're friends and you play over the summer, but once the ball is thrown up in the air for the opening tip, it's like something else. It shuts off, right? All that personal stuff, friendships, whatever. It's business time.
Yeah.
And so you can turn that off and on once the game's over,
right,
too.
Because they're going to have the same approach, right, that you're talking about. So we have to be able to match that and go out there and just compete at a super high level and not leave anything up to chance.
So what's it going to look like for you coming out against this team? Now, we talk about UNC. They got three returners. You guys had a lot. I didn't think you were going to play when we were talking about this on Wednesday morning. But, they have a lot. They have some new faces. You guys have some new faces in that starting lineup, so kind of different teams. But the Bears do have their three starters that were involved in this game last year: Dalton Knecht, Dalen Kuntz, and Matt Johnson. So who are you going to be guarding?
Probably,
can you tell us that? Is it confidential?
I think we'll have to wait.
Okay, don't tell us. I got your back, man. Yeah, we're not going to give out secrets. But we know, obviously, you're probably going to be on a guard, I'm guessing.
Yeah, one of the guards for sure. I'm probably not going to be down there on Dalton too.
Yeah,
much
probably not.
Or any other big guy.
Or Theo Hughes, big seven-footer. Yeah. You're probably not going to go one-on-one with that guy to start.
As Ram Nation, but... probably be on one of the guards. They're very versatile, so we have to be versatile on defensive end. A lot of cross matchups happen throughout the course of a game, so got to be locked in and ready to guard whoever it may be.
Well, this is a good matchup for you guys because, I mean, when the Bears get hot, they're not, defensively they've struggled certainly, but when they get hot, I mean, that shooting is pretty crazy.
Man.
So that's a good test for you guys early on, knowing, all right, we have to make those switches. We have to make sure we're communicating to make sure we're not giving up any open looks.
Yeah, they run a bunch of great stuff, man, offensively, and I think that if you're not locked in, they can embarrass you on that end of the floor. And even defensively, they've been maybe up and down a little bit, but I personally think that they can do some things that really disrupt offenses. So we have to be smart about how we go into our game plan. Hopefully just try to make it tough on them in certain situations. But I think on both ends of the floor, they can be very disruptive.
Still kind of a minute restriction probably for you on Saturday.
Hopefully not. what I'm saying? Hopefully not. So I'll be able to go out there and play as much as possible.
Didn't look like you needed any restrictions
on
Wednesday.
Man,
man.
I know, but got to be smart coming back, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, as a competitor, I want to play all 40, and I've played a lot throughout my career, so kind of build up those habits of knowing your rotations and when you're going to be in and out. But hopefully we'll be able to play a little bit more on Saturday. We'll have to wait and see, and I know they'll make the right decisions for me as far as my foot goes and everything. So.
Well, I'm excited, man. So I told you, I'm going to be sitting next to Jerry Schimmel. I'm going to be doing color commentary for this game. So, there's that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be cool, man. Like you said, we'll get a nice high five shake or something going on before the game.
Absolutely, man. No, I'm looking forward to it. Dude, it's just so much fun to get you back. I love doing this show with you. You're doing fantastic with this. I'm excited as these programs grow. We can talk more and more. We'll get into the schedule. Conference schedule is not that far away, so that's going to be crazy, too. Yeah. But, dude, congratulations so far, first off, on getting back, getting healthy. That's number one.
Absolutely.
And so I know everybody's just pumped to see what you can do, what you guys can do the rest of the way, and we'll be here for it, my man.
Man, I appreciate you.
Let's get that Madden game going, too.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
I told you we have the Xbox back there.
Anytime, any place.
It's the old Madden. It's last year's Madden, though. Is that going to bother you at all?
I know how to play that one, too. It doesn't even matter for me.
All right, my man. Isaiah, dude, again, good luck to you guys tomorrow. I'll see you around there at some point. Moby Madness should be alive and well in Fort Collins. So best of luck to you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. That's Isaiah Stevens. It's been the Isaiah Stevens Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll let him get out and get to practice and get ready for tomorrow afternoon's big game. I'm calling it rivalry week, man. It's rivalry
Absolutely.
Week.
You know? Absolutely. These games are going to be fun, man. Get to Moby.
Let's get to Moby. Build this thing up, and let's have some fun tomorrow afternoon. Isaiah, my man, be careful on your way back, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
All right, 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Thirty-seven minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome in to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. That was great, Isaiah Stevens. Always a great conversation there, and we thank him for joining us each and every Friday here. Get us rolling on the right foot, so to speak, right? Foot because of the injury. Yeah, there we go. I do thank Crazy Carl's Pizza for hooking us up, man, doing these programs with us for the last year and a half, and it's been fantastic. So we hope you guys enjoy kind of a deep dive, you know, listening to these players talk. I think it's a lot of fun. On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Four Noses Brewery in Broomfield. Michelada 4-packs. Pick up selections from Four Noses Brewery or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 every single day. They got a drive-through as well. Tell them you heard about them right here on the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who you got? Saturday afternoon. What do you think, Angel? Can the Bears? I mean, let's call it what it is. This would be a significant upset if the UNC Bears can beat Colorado State on Saturday. I felt good about UNC. And I started seeing CSU play so well. You get Isaiah Stevens back. LMU wasn't a bad team, and they just mopped the floor with them. How are you feeling about this matchup?
I'm excited for it. It's obviously to build up this rivalry, as Isaiah was saying, to play these schools, team guys that you might have played against in high school, grew up playing with in youth ball, guys that maybe get, you know, hey, I didn't get an offer from this school, I want to go out and show them what they missed. All kinds of storylines coming involved in this game. And just looking back at last year's game, the intensity that the Bears came out and played with, I know Coach Smiley's going to have these guys ready to play. And CSU is a tough opponent, but I look at the Bears season, they've played a lot of really tough, close games. They're learning how to finish games a little better. These freshmen are starting to figure it out a little bit more. So really just lean on your leadership and Matt and Dalen and see if you can get a young, you know, a big performance out of Caleb Shaw or one of the other freshmen.
It's going to take that. It's going to take a lot of scoring in this one because, you know, UNC, their defense is not great. I get it. But they have it seems like I'm seeing little moments in these games where they're starting to figure it out a little bit. But as Jerry was telling Good Morning NOCO, we'll have Jerry on the program in the 12 o'clock hour. You know, certainly trying. You know, they're certainly putting out that effort. But the big man situation for UNC certainly is something that hurts them. So right now they have to shoot the roof off of the place in order to stay in games. The New Mexico game was interesting. New Mexico's a really good team. And they end up losing 98-74. But they've given up some points. So they're going to have to hope, okay, Dalen, Matt, Dalton, those guys are probably going to have a good day as far as scoring. They typically do. But you're right. You're going to need a Caleb Shaw or somebody like that to really step up. And yeah, you're right. You're putting a lot on a freshman already. And that's just the way it is. That I remember when Bodie Hume was a freshman and Jeff Linder was here. And, you know, he told Bodie, you can't be a freshman. You just can't be. You don't get that luxury. You have to play like you've been here before because we're going to really be relying on you. And I would imagine Smiley's having those same conversations with some of these freshmen now, in particular Caleb Shaw, saying, dude, I need you. Can't be a freshman. You got to learn quickly. And that's the goal in this non-conference schedule, right, is to make sure everybody's on the same page early so when you get into conference play, you know, away you go, and you're feeling really good about your chances to go into the tournament and ultimately win that thing. That's how they punch their ticket. We know that. Last year in this game, as we talked about a lot, Bodie Hume was 9 of 14 from the three-point line, and he had 30 points. You're going to need a performance like that. Bodie was, like, locked in. That was one of the best. Other than his conference tournament the year before that, he had back-to-back 30-point games. That was the most locked in I ever saw him. You're going to need one of those guys to do that again. You know, last year, Dalton Connect had 6 points in that game. He was 0 for 5 from the 3-point line. Matt Johnson had 7. You know, he was 1 for 3. Dalen had a nice game. He had 19 points. But you're going to need those three guys. They have to be upwards in the, you know, upward teens and into the, somebody's into the 20s or something like that in order to pull off the upset against Colorado State. Should be interesting. Should be fun.
It'd be exciting. You're up there with Jerry for this game.
Yeah, I'm going to be trying my hand at some color commentary in this one. I was planning on going to the game anyway, and I let Jerry know that I was going, and he said, hey, why don't you sit next to me, and we'll call the game. So it's a good one for me to do because I cover both of these teams pretty closely, so it does make it a little bit easier. The prep time, I don't have to put in that much prep time.
Well, you're not carrying the weight of the game,
that,
like Jerry.
I mean, I'm going to say like 10 words, probably. Maybe 20. You know, I'll be on
over under on Brady's words on Saturday.
Oh, like a realist? I don't know. That's crazy to think about because I say thousands of things, 11 to 2 every single
day.
Well,
if we can find a spread for it, I'm sure Tanner will bet on it.
Well, Jerry's kind of coaching me through it, too. He's like, hey, you're not going to have that much time here. It's going to be dead balls, all this stuff. So we'll see. Jerry's putting me on a word restriction, kind of like Isaiah's on a minute restriction. So I just have to, just like Isaiah, I have to slow down, you know, go in when you pick my spots and not force the issue. You know, I can't go overboard here. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043 should be a fun one. Last night, I thought Thursday Night Football was going to be a little better of a game. Mac Jones, pretty upset with his team, man. I mean, he was, you saw, did you see the clip when he's like screaming at, was it Patricia? He's like, run or pass the blanking ball. You know, I mean, that was an emotional game for them. That was a huge game for them. And Mac was frustrated. What do you think about Mac Jones? Is he the future for the Patriots? Because you brought that crazy rumor up that could Tom Brady essentially go back to New England and then Mac Jones goes to Tampa Bay. So I was thinking about all that stuff while I was watching the game. What's Mac Jones' future in the NFL? Is he going to be one of those guys that clicks?
It's really hard to say. I think he has. You know, I've watched him for a number of years, obviously. He has all the traits of a good quarterback. He's very, you know, Brady-esque in terms of his delivery, in terms of his pocket presence and awareness. I just think that offense has nothing to fear on it. You know, maybe their running game with Stevenson and Harris, but you're not really threatened by their receivers. So you can kind of just let your defense, you know, pin their ears back and go after Mac, and you get pressure on him, you can get flustered a little bit. And, you know, if that's the system they want to run in New England, they don't really know what their offensive system is because you got Patricia maybe calling plays, and then there's another guy standing next to him with a headset. Like, it's really confusing. And I think Mac can figure it out in this league. I just don't know if New England will be the long term for him.
What do you think the chances are of Tom Brady going back to New England?
Very small.
Like, one?
It would take, you would have to build up that offense to make it desirable for him.
Do you, it almost, again, I was thinking about that after we talked about it yesterday. With everything that's gone on in Tom Brady's life over the last year, you know, there's almost, I wonder if there's a sense of that's where, that's my home. That's where I grew up in this league. All this junk has gone on in my life, especially these last 6 months. I wonder if personally that's something that would make sense. You know, if you look at, everybody's saying San Francisco probably be the team he goes to next year, if that happens. So that makes the most football sense. But from a personal standpoint, there's part of me that wonders if he would go back to New England because it's comfortable, it's familiar, it's home to him after a rough 6 months.
Can he just sign a one-day contract and retire as a Patriot?
Just be done?
Please.
Is he going to be done?
I hope so.
He's not a bad quarterback right now.
No, it's just he is hampered by his legacy. And I mean that like the best positive way because, oh, if he doesn't go win a Super Bowl, it's, oh, Tom Brady fell off at the end of his career. It's like, no, he just didn't win a Super Bowl.
He's not
going to win every single year.
They were a playoff team last year. You know, they're deep into the playoffs. They're going to the playoffs more often than not. So for the Patriots coming up, they're at Arizona. They're at Las Vegas. Home against the Bengals, home against the Dolphins, and then at Buffalo. They might not make the playoffs now. That's how big of a game that was. Lonster's on the line. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good for a Friday, man. I'm excited for a busy sports weekend.
Hey, you know what? You're not the only one. I'm getting ready for tomorrow's football one tomorrow.
We'll have that one on in the morning, of course, and then we'll transition to Colorado State, University of Northern Colorado. So it's a big day on KFKA.
Tell you what, that's going to be fun to listen to. Both those games are going to be fun to listen to.
Yeah, no doubt, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I think Tom Brady, I think this is going to be his last year.
You really do?
Yeah, I really do. I think what he's going through, I think he's going to say, you know what, I think I've had enough.
Or does he use football more as of an escape that he needs it now more than ever? I don't know. At the beginning of the season, I felt like maybe you would be right, but now I'm kind of getting the sense that he might really lean into football even more than before.
I don't know. I think what he's going through, I think this is going to say, you know what, it's time to shut it down.
Yeah. Lonster, who you got tomorrow, CSU or UNC?
I got CSU,
yeah.
But it can go either way, though, you know.
We'll see. Should be a fun one. What's for lunch today?
We're going to have taco pizza.
Taco pizza. I love taco pizza. I'm guessing you're throwing some hot sauce on those bad boys.
Oh, you know it, man. I'm going to dump that over with hot sauce and be ready to chow it down.
All right, my man. Lonster, have a good weekend, okay?
Hey, you do the same, and have fun up there at the game tomorrow.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you.
Okay.
48 minutes after the hour, Eastside Chris. Rabbit hole question. Did Peyton hire Hackett to help persuade Rodgers? I don't know what that last part is. Now he's stuck with this plan C. What I've heard is that was not the case. That George Payton had talked to folks in the Seattle organization back at the Senior Bowl. So it seemed like he was in communication about the idea of Russell Wilson before Nathaniel Hackett. That's what I've heard. That it, you know, again, I know that that makes for an interesting story. Here's my other take on that, Angel. Aaron Rodgers was never going anywhere. I really don't feel like he was ever going anywhere. That was a leverage game by him. I never truly thought he was going to be gone. So I don't believe that George Payton hired Hackett in hopes of bringing over Aaron Rodgers. I think that Russell Wilson was ultimately the guy. I think he wanted to get him on board. Text Brady, during the call Saturday, can you throw in hooligans at some point? I'll try. Brian said he wants me to throw in the word tofu at some point. So I'm getting, I don't know. This is a random Brianism, right? I'll give it a shot. All right, 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall. And that's why they call me.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is now also Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. They're open for all appointments beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning. They have on-call physicians that are available for same-day appointments for non-surgical visits as well. For more on Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, go to orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, who you got, UNC or CSU? I would imagine, you know, right now it looks like 63% of the hooligans are saying CSU is going to take this thing. I mean, it seems about right. Like I said, I felt better about this game to start of the week. Then you see CSU, the way they played against LMU and getting Isaiah back, feeling a little bit differently now. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Talking about the Broncos a bit, you know, looking at this offensive line, we know how bad it's been. The one constant, though, has been Dalton Reisner. He's, you know, I'm not saying he's a world beater. He's one of the top left guards in the league by any stretch, but he has been durable. He's been dependable. And I'm shocked by this right now, but they haven't got a deal done. Now, I don't even know if they're talking about getting a deal done. So leads me to believe Denver's going to, you know, do what they did with Kareem Jackson and just let Dalton test free agency and then come back to Denver. I don't know if Reisner's a big free agent commodity right now. And so I would imagine Denver's waiting to see if they can get him for, you know, a cheaper, for a hometown discount or maybe even a cheaper one than he might be willing to take right now. Let him go test free agency and see what happens. But he's been the constant, man. I would like to see them offer him a deal because this O-line is in disarray, and he's a formidable guard. So going into the offseason, you need to have some kind of base, and I would imagine Reisner is that base. You don't want to move on from him. Take care of him. You like Quinn Meinerz. You like Cushenberry when those guys are healthy. Then that would say, okay, well, you need a right tackle. You got to go out and get a right tackle. I don't know what the future is for Garrett Bowles. He has taken a step back. He's had an up-and-down career with the Broncos thus far. So yeah, with Reisner, I would lock him up, make sure he's in the mix, and then you can put your focus on, you know, the rest of the offensive line and what that looks like. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. In the second hour, we'll get to the lunch rush, the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. Jerry Schimmel will join us at 12:20 or so, help us preview this UNC-CSU game as well. And we have Football Friday coming up at 1. But it's just a Broncos Football Friday. We'll talk college football, of course, some huge matchups. Big one tonight. You got the Pac-12 championship going on between Utah and USC. I looked, USC's a 2.5-point favorite in this game. So, Angel, there, the wise guys are giving Utah a decent shot at this thing tonight. And I know that you'll be paying attention to this one. This is a big one for you.
Of course.
You need two losses.
Need two. It starts with one.
You can't get two if you don't get one. All right, second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.